Ready to explore the Holy Spirit in the New Testament? Buckle up because we're going deep today. We're diving into a lecture by Dr. Matthewson. And let me tell you, he brings some really fresh perspectives to the table.
Yeah, this is going to be good.
This isn't just like a basic overview, you know? We're talking about those aha moments that make you rethink how you read the Bible.
Exactly. And we're not just skimming the surface here, you know. You wanted to dig into this source because you really want to understand how the Holy Spirit unlocks the deeper meaning of the New Testament.
Right. Okay, so let's jump right in. One of the first things that Matthewson tackles is this idea that the Holy Spirit is like some brand new concept in the New Testament.
Huh.
But he says that's just not true.
It's really not. What's fascinating is that the Holy Spirit is actually deeply rooted in the Old Testament. It's like this thread running through the whole story of the Bible. And that thread always seems to pop up when God's doing something new, you know, like fulfilling a promise or ushering in a new era.
Okay, so it's not just some random add-on. There's a real purpose here.
Exactly. The Holy Spirit is central to understanding God's plan, not just in the New Testament, but across the entire biblical narrative. It's like a preview of what God's going to do, a sign that something big is about to happen.
So how does this connect to us reading the New Testament today?
That's the question, isn't it? If we understand that the Holy Spirit is how God makes his promises real, it changes how we read those promises. They become less like these distant events and more like something we can experience right now.
I love that. It's like the Holy Spirit is the bridge between those ancient promises and our lives today. But Matthewson also dives into this really intriguing connection between the Holy Spirit and the concept of the temple.
Yeah. This is where it gets exciting. Matthewson highlights how the New Testament kind of reframes what temple even means. He points to 2 Corinthians 6.16, where Paul, you know, pretty boldly calls the church the temple of the living God.
Wait, the church is the temple, not a physical building?
That's exactly what Paul is saying. And it's not just some random metaphor either. Matthewson shows how this idea pops up again in Ephesians 2.19-22. We as believers become God's dwelling place through the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit is what makes that connection possible. We become the temple because the Spirit lives within us.
You got it. And this completely transforms our understanding of what it means to be a believer, you know, to be part of the church. It's not just about going to a building. It's about carrying God's presence within us wherever we go.
Now, that's powerful. And speaking of powerful, son, Matthewson doesn't stop there. He also digs into how the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of what's to come.
Right. He uses Ephesians 1.13-14, where the Holy Spirit is described as a seal and a deposit, you know, like a down payment on our future inheritance.
So it's not just a vague feeling or a hope, but something concrete we can grasp.
Exactly. The Holy Spirit is proof that what God promised is as good as done. Think of it like that coming soon sign on a store. You can't wait to open. The anticipation is real.
I love that analogy. Matthewson also brings in that image from Romans 8.23 of the first fruits of the Spirit, right?
He does. It's like we're getting a taste of the full harvest of redemption that's still to come. The Holy Spirit is present now, but it also points towards something even greater in the future.
This makes me think about how we define ourselves as Christians. Is Matthewson saying the Holy Spirit plays a role in that too?
He absolutely is. Matthewson takes us to Romans 8.16. where the Holy Spirit is described as the mark of truly belonging to Christ. It's not just about saying you believe, but about being internally changed by the Spirit.
So would you say the Holy Spirit is like a spiritual fingerprint, something that sets us apart?
That's a great way to put it. And this connects to a big debate Paul tackles in Galatians, that whole faith versus works thing. Matthewson points out how Paul uses the Holy Spirit as the ultimate proof that you're part of God's family. It's not about following the law perfectly. It's about being transformed by the Spirit.
This is reminding me of the drama with those Judaizers in Galatians. They were saying you had to follow all the Jewish laws to be a true Christian rite.
That's right. They were stirring up a lot of trouble trying to put these new Gentile believers back under the law. But Paul argues that it's the Holy Spirit that makes us true sons and daughters of God, regardless of whether we were born Jewish or not.
So how does Matthewson connect this back to the Old Testament?
He highlights this amazing link between the Holy Spirit and the promises God made to Abraham way back in Genesis. He points us to Galatians 3.14, where Paul actually says the promise of the Holy Spirit in the fulfillment of the blessing given to Abraham.
Whoa, so the blessing given to Abraham wasn't just about land or descendants, but about the Holy Spirit.
That's exactly how Paul interprets it. And Matthewson takes it a step further by bringing in Isaiah 44.3. Remember that passage where God talks about pouring out blessings like water? Matthewson points out that in that very passage, the pouring out of water is directly connected to the pouring out of the Spirit.
That's an amazing connection. It's like the Holy Spirit is the ultimate expression of God's blessing.
Right. And it's not just some vague spiritual blessing either. The Holy Spirit has a very real impact on our lives.
So it's not just about feeling good or having mystical experiences, but about actual change. What kind of change are we talking about?
That's a great question, and it leads us to a really important point, that Matthew Sagi makes the link between the Holy Spirit and how we live our lives. It's a connection that often gets overlooked, but it's incredibly important for understanding what it means to be a follower of Christ. It's a connection that we often miss, but it's super important for understanding what it means to be a follower of Christ, you know?
So it's not just about feeling good or having mystical experiences. We're talking about actual change. What kind of change are we talking about here?
We often think about the Holy Spirit as this like gentle guide, but Matthew Sagan highlights that it can be a powerful force, almost like those prophets in the Old Testament who were filled with the Spirit and spoke God's words with boldness.
You mean like when Isaiah confronted the king or Jeremiah warned the people about coming judgment? They weren't exactly shy about delivering God's message, were they?
Exactly. And that same empowering presence of the Holy Spirit didn't just stop with the Old Testament either. Matthewson points to the apostles being filled with the Spirit at Pentecost in the book of Acts, you know. They went from hiding in fear to boldly preaching the gospel, even when people were persecuting them.
That's a pretty dramatic transformation, but are you saying that that kind of power is available to all believers, not just those like special cases we see in the Bible?
That's exactly what Matthewson is saying. He argues that the Holy Spirit wants to empower us to live out our faith in ways that make a real difference. It's about being change agents in the world, bringing light and hope to those difficult situations.
So it's not just about internal transformation, but outward impact as well. We're talking about the Holy Spirit equipping us to actually do something.
Think of it this way. The Holy Spirit gives us the courage to speak up for what's right, the compassion to serve others, and the creativity to find solutions to problems. Mm. We're not just sitting on the sidelines. We're active participants in God's story.
That's an inspiring thought. But how does this empowering work in practice? Does the Holy Spirit, like, give us superpowers or something?
Well, not quite like the X-Men. But Matthewson points out that one of the key ways the Holy Spirit empowers us is through spiritual gifts. Remember those lists in the New Testament, like in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about prophecy and healing and speaking in tongues and all sorts of amazing abilities?
Yeah, I've always been a little confused about those gifts. Are they like special talents that some Christians have, or is it something everyone is supposed to experience?
That's a question that has generated a lot of debate throughout church history. Matthewson sticks close to what the Bible says, you know, emphasizing that these gifts are given by the Spirit for a specific purpose to build up the church and advance God's kingdom.
So it's not about showing off or having some kind of spiritual bragging rights.
Definitely not. It's about using our gifts to serve others, to contribute to the common good, to be a blessing. Yeah. Just imagine the impact if every Christian saw their gifts as tools for serving God and loving their neighbor.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But how do we know which gifts we have? Is it like a spiritual personality test or something?
Matthewson doesn't really give us like a step-by-step guide for discovering your gifts. Instead, he highlights the importance of being open to the Spirit's leading and being willing to step out in faith, you know, even if it feels a little uncomfortable or unfamiliar.
So it's about being adventurous and trying new things, seeing where the Spirit might be nudging us. But what if we try something and it doesn't work out, or we feel like we failed?
It's easy to get discouraged.
I know.
But remember, the Holy Spirit is all about growth and transformation. Matthewson reminds us that these gifts aren't static. They can develop and evolve as we grow in our faith and our relationship with God.
So we don't have to be perfect or have it all figured out from the beginning.
Not at all. It's a journey of discovery, and the Holy Spirit is right there with us every step of the way.
This is all incredibly fascinating, but I have to admit, I'm starting to feel a little overwhelmed. It's like we've opened up this huge Pandora's box of theological insights, and I'm not sure how to process it all.
It's easy to get lost in the details, isn't it? But remember, this is not about mastering a bunch of facts about the Holy Spirit. It's about encountering a living person who wants to be in relationship with us.
So what's more important, understanding every theological nuance or simply being open to the Spirit's work in our lives?
Matthewson encourages us to approach the Holy Spirit with a sense of humility and wonder. This is a reality that's bigger than our human understanding.
That's reassuring. I was starting to feel like I needed a PhD in theology to wrap my head around all this.
You don't need a degree, just a willing heart and an open mind. The Holy Spirit is a gift offered to all who believe. It's not an exclusive club for theologians.
Speaking of gifts, I'm curious about how the Holy Spirit is described in some of those other New Testament books, the ones we haven't really touched on yet. Does Matthewson have anything to say about that?
Absolutely. Matthewson takes us on this quick tour of some key passages in those other letters, showing how the Holy Spirit's role is consistent with what we've seen in Paul's writings and the Gospels.
Okay, I'm all ears. What are some of the highlights?
Well, he points to Hebrews 9.8, where the Holy Spirit is described as revealing God's plan through the Old Testament tabernacle. It's like the Spirit is giving us a behind-the-scenes tour of God's purposes throughout history, showing us how it all fits together.
So the Holy Spirit is like a divine tour guide through the Bible.
I love that analogy. And it reminds us that the Holy Spirit isn't limited to the New Testament.
Oh, yeah.
It's been actively involved in God's plan from the very beginning.
That ties back to what we talked about earlier, the continuity of the Holy Spirit's work throughout the entire Bible. It's like a constant thread that ties everything together.
Exactly. Matthewson also points to Hebrews 6.4, where sharing in the Holy Spirit is described as a mark of true salvation. This echoes what we saw in Romans and Galatians, that the Holy Spirit is the seal of our redemption, the guarantee of our inheritance.
So we're back to that idea of the Holy Spirit as a confirmation of our identity as God's children.
Right. And he also brings in some interesting insights from 1 Peter. For example, in 1 Peter 1.11 to 12, the Holy Spirit is described as the one who inspired the Old Testament prophets to speak about the coming Messiah.
Wow. So the Holy Spirit was orchestrating the whole story of salvation even before Jesus was born. It's like the Spirit is the ultimate storyteller.
And we get to be part of that story. It's a reminder that the entire Bible is infused with the Holy Spirit's inspiration, guiding us towards a deeper understanding of God's plan and our place in it.
Okay, this is mind-blowing. But what about those passages in 1 Peter that are a bit harder to understand, like the one where Jesus preaches to the spirits in prison? Does Matthewson address that?
He does. But he acknowledges that it's a complex and debated passage. He focuses on 1 Peter 3.08, where Jesus is said to be made alive in the Spirit.
That's always sounded kind of mysterious to me. What does that even mean?
Matthewson interprets it as referring to Jesus' resurrection. It was the Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to conquer death and inaugurate a new era of life and hope.
So the Holy Spirit is the power behind the resurrection. That changes how I think about that event.
It's not just about a historical fact. It's about the ongoing power of the Holy Spirit to bring life out of death, hope out of despair.
I'm seeing a pattern here. We've been talking about new creation, empowerment, transformation. Is that what Matthewson is getting at?
You're picking up on a major theme.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads it to one more fascinating aspect of the Holy Spirit that often gets overlooked or misunderstood.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What is it?
Remember how we talked about the Holy Spirit empowering us to live out our faith in practical ways?
Yeah, putting our faith into action, being the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. But is there something more to it than that?
That's where Matthewson challenges us to think even deeper. He says the Holy Spirit isn't just about outward actions. It's about inner transformation. It's about shaping our character to be more like Christ.
So it's not just about what we do, but who we are. But how does that actually happen? It all sounds a little mystical and vague.
It's a process that's hard to fully grasp, but Matthewson connects it to those famous verses in Galatians 5.22223, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit.
Right. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But I've always struggled with how to actually develop those qualities. It feels like trying to force myself to be a better person.
And that's where Matthewson's insights are so helpful. He says these qualities aren't just abstract virtues or rules to follow. They are the tangible evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. They are a natural outflow of being connected to God through the Spirit.
So instead of trying to manufacture these qualities, we need to focus on our relationship with the Holy Spirit and let those qualities flow naturally.
That's the idea. It's not about gritting our teeth and trying harder. It's about surrendering to the Spirit's transforming power.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is like a gardener who cultivates these beautiful fruits within us.
I love that image. And it's not just about making us feel good. It's about making us truly good, conforming us to the image of Christ.
This is pretty amazing stuff. But I have to be honest, I'm still wrestling with some questions. Like, how do we know when it's really the Holy Spirit speaking to us and not just our own thoughts or desires? And what about those times when we feel like our prayers are hitting a ceiling? It's like God is a million miles away.
Those are really important questions, and they lead us to the final part of our deep dive. We're going to unpack some of those practical implications of everything we've been discussing.
Okay, I'm ready. bring on the practical wisdom.
We're going to unpack some of those practical implications of everything we've been discussing.
Okay, I'm ready. Bring on the practical wisdom.
I think the most important thing to remember is this. The Holy Spirit isn't just some abstract concept or theological idea, you know. It's a living, active presence that wants to interact with us and guide us and empower us.
Okay, that makes sense. But how do we actually tap into that presence? How do we cultivate like a deeper awareness of the Holy Spirit working in our lives? It all feels a bit mysterious.
That's where spiritual disciplines come in. Practices like prayer, Bible study, meditation, fasting, even fellowship. They're not just religious rituals. Think of them as tools that help us tune our hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit's frequency.
So it's like we're creating space for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to guide us, to work in us.
Exactly. It's like building a bridge between our finite human experience and the infinite realm of the Spirit. These disciplines help us to cross that bridge and encounter the living God.
I love that analogy. But what about those times when we feel like our prayers are hitting a ceiling or we're just not sensing God's presence? What do we do when we're in those drier seasons? How do we persevere when it feels like God is distant?
Yeah, it's easy to get discouraged when we don't feel that immediate connection, you know? Mm-hmm. But remember, our experience of the Holy Spirit won't always be the same. There will be mountaintop moments and valley moments. Sometimes we'll feel that close connection and other times we'll feel like we're wandering in a spiritual desert.
So how do we navigate those desert times?
It comes down to faith and trust. Even when we don't feel it, God's love for us is constant. We can hold on to the promises of Scripture, even when our circumstances feel overwhelming.
So it's about clinging to God's faithfulness, even when our feelings are telling us otherwise.
Exactly. And it's also remembering that the Holy Spirit isn't just about comfort and consolation. Sometimes the Spirit challenges us, you know, convicts us of sin and pushes us out of our comfort zones. It's about growth. And that can be uncomfortable.
So sometimes the Holy Spirit's work might actually feel a bit difficult or even painful.
Think about it this way. The Holy Spirit's goal is to make us more like Christ. And that process often involves confronting our flaws, you know, pruning away things in our lives that are hindering our growth.
So how do we know if it's the Holy Spirit prompting us to change or just our own guilt or insecurities talking? How can we tell the difference?
That's a great question, and it's one that has puzzled believers for centuries. There's no easy answer, but there are some guidelines we can follow.
Okay, I'm ready for the wisdom. What should we be looking for?
First and foremost, check it against Scripture. The Holy Spirit will never contradict God's word. If it goes against what the Bible clearly teaches, it's probably not the Holy Spirit.
So it's like having a spiritual filter to weed out those conflicting messages. Does that mean we should be constantly analyzing everything we think and feel?
It doesn't have to be that complicated. Just ask yourself, does this align with what I know to be true about God and His Word? Another good test is to look for the fruit of the Spirit. If what you're sensing leads to love, joy, peace, patience, you know, those good things we talked about, it's more likely to be from God.
So if it's producing those good fruits in my life, it's a good sign. But doesn't that sometimes contradict the idea that the Holy Spirit might challenge or convict us? Those things don't always feel very peaceful or joyful.
That's a good point. It's about looking at the overall direction of your life.
Yeah.
You know, is there growth? Are you becoming more like Christ, even if the process is uncomfortable? If the answer is yes, the Holy Spirit might be at work even in those challenging moments. And one last thing. Don't underestimate the value of wise counsel from other mature believers.
So it's not just about listening to our own inner voice, but also getting input from others.
Absolutely. Other Christians can offer valuable perspectives, help us discern God's will, and hold us accountable. We don't have to figure it all out on our own.
This has been an incredible journey, and I think the biggest takeaway for me is that it's not about having all the answers or mastering some complicated theological system. It's about being in relationship with God, listening to His voice, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us.
Beautifully said. And as we continue on this journey of faith, let's remember to approach the Holy Spirit with humility, wonder, and expectancy.
It's about diving deep into Scripture, uncovering those hidden treasures, and letting God's Word transform our lives from the inside out.
I think that's a perfect note to end on. Keep seeking, keep questioning, keep growing, and let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth.
This has been an incredible deep dive. Thank you so much for sharing your insights.
The pleasure was all mine. Until next time, keep diving deep.